gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, in this hour, by the way, brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Protect your irreplaceable computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Don't wait. Start backing up your computer with Carbonite today. Go to Carbonite.com. Use that offer code Stephanie for my special offer, a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. A big show. My best friend for forever, Aisha Tyler, coming up, hopefully, in a surprise appearance.
Yes.
Even though I stiffed her birthday party this weekend because I'm a complete moron that can't live without adult supervision.
Yeah.
And I got lost on the way there.
I think she's calling in from Toronto.
That's what I'm told.
Yes.
All right. And we have Representative Bruce Braley of Iowa, Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe, another big Tuesday show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Speaking of big, Richard Wolff from MSNBC, author of Renegade, The Making of a President, joins us right out of the box. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Is that a comment about my waist, or what are you,
no,
what are you trying to say here?
It's a comment, about your journalistic hugeness.
Oh, thank you.
So, Richard, first of all, Christine O'Donnell, we must start with this because have you seen such a political oddity in your lifetime covering politics thus far?
Yeah, there was that guy in Kentucky who right off the bat said he didn't like the civil rights movement or she is part of this new breed. God bless them. They're keeping us in business.
As Sarah Palin would say, bless their hearts.
You bet. And I just think that, this gets to the question. We can have fun with her, and please, let's do that. It really gets to the heart of the question of what the mission is here for the people like Jim DeMint or Karl Rove, who's backing a lot of these people. What are they trying to do here? And if they're having an internal fight, which it seems like they are, that's great for them, but it has real limitations for them, for the country, and it's the entertainment isn't just entertainment. It kind of speaks to the lack of seriousness. You know, my problem with Sarah Palin all along, I don't mind that she's religious. I don't mind that she's very conservative. What troubled me all along was that she wasn't fundamentally serious about running, about preparing, about public service. And you can disagree about the policy, but it seems to me that Christine O'Donnell, she said stuff. She's done stuff. But if you don't pay your taxes, if you go out and say, hey, I was just on TV, I was just saying stuff because I was on TV, well, what does any of this mean?
Right.
If it's just a game, then go on reality TV, go on Survivor. It doesn't matter, but this isn't reality TV. We're talking about people's lives here. So, sorry to get serious. Let's talk about witchcraft.
No, but you're absolutely right.
No, witchcraft. Let's do witchcraft.
Let's do witchcraft. No, I mean, it is amazing, right, when you look at all the Reverend Wright and all that stuff, and someone that said they dabbled in witchcraft, and somehow they're, you know, conservatives say, oh, that's nothing, it's whatever, let's just dismiss that. And even her story seems to have a hole in it. It wasn't in high school, right? I mean, if you do the math, she was...
I don't care when she did it, okay?
Right.
The question is, do you want to have elected officials who think that they can say anything and it doesn't much matter? Do you want to have elected officials who are going out there to shock? And by the way, if you are a social conservative, and she purports to represent social conservatives, then what kind of values are these? I mean, this isn't, it's not abstract, okay? And if you don't, if you think you're a libertarian and it doesn't much matter, then fine, but that's not who she is. She's been a social conservative. So consistency, seriousness, purpose. You want all of those things. There's a bare minimum in these elected officials. And look, I think it's great that, honestly, I do think it's great that people are active in politics. I don't care whether they're on the right or the left. I think grassroots politics is always good, but that doesn't make you electable. It doesn't make it a movement, and it does speak to the kind of mood and the civil war that's happening in the Republican Party right now. And all of these Tea Party folks, they're a much bigger threat to Republicans than they are to Democrats.
Well, it's like everybody says, Richard, oh, well, there really is an energy. You have to, and I'm like, well, yes, there's energy at a monster truck poll, too, but... Will that translate in November? I don't know. I don't know if you saw the hot off the poll, the latest Gallup numbers. You know, now Democrats have a slight edge, 46% to 45% of registered voters. And again, don't know that it means much of anything right now, right?
Well, look, and no, these polls do matter, and they matter because they're showing that actually this is tied. The thing that is going to bring Democrats down, I cannot make this point clearly enough. The thing that is going to bring Democrats down, and it's Democrats in Congress, it's the White House, it's everyone, is for Democrats to stay at home. Now, if you're happy with Christine O'Donnell on your TV screens, if you're happy with Sarah Palin being the kingmaker, queenmaker, whatever you want to call her.
The Republicans may have succeeded in startling us off the couch. It's like, what?
Stay at home. Stay at home. Let these people run Congress. Let them shut down the government. Let them undo health care, because they will. And they will try and do all of this stuff, and they will try and close down the Department of Education, and they will try and privatize Social Security, and either nothing will happen, or they're going to have to make compromises along the way. And if you're unhappy with how things are right now, if you're unhappy with President Obama, and lots of people are, just wait to have these folks dominating a Republican majority, because they will. They'll dominate it from fear.
Yeah.
The fear will be among all the other Republicans, the sensible, sane, centrist ones, and there are lots of them. But the fear is that if I don't kowtow to these people, if I don't do what they're doing, I'm going to get these people in my district.
Right.
So it will change the culture. It will change the culture. So Democrats, if you want this to happen, have fun with it. Stay at home. Watch it happen. You'll be horrified. You'll be disgusted. But you'll regret staying at home. And that's really the lesson that Democrats need to take from this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, one of the headlines that struck me, Richard, about how out of step I think, a lot of the Republican, well, at least these Tea Party candidates are with the American people is, as we vote today on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and of course, gay rights has, obviously, we've come such a long way in, state after state. I'm reading the headline in Montana, the Republican Party platform is to make homosexuality illegal.
Right.
Which, first of all, the mind even boggles how they would accomplish that. But
they're out of step on those issues. They're out of step when it comes to Latino voters and immigration, and they're out of step in a monumental way because this is going to damage them for a generation. You're going to see states like Texas come into play precisely because of the positions they're taking now. And when you look at the demographics, you look at the generational difference on things like gay marriage, it's just out of step, and the attitudes are changing very rapidly.
Well,
we're talking about 2 or 3 years. Even President Obama's position as a candidate in 2008 is no longer where the population is right now, especially younger voters, the people who voted for him. So these attitudes are changing. They're out of step. They're out of line. But even more than that, even more than the social stuff, which I know gets everyone exercised, they're not even consistent with themselves. They say they're anti-government. They don't like big government. They don't like government jobs. But if it's the military, they like it. If it's public schools, they like it. If it's Social Security, well, they still actually want Social Security to be around. If it's Medicare, well, they don't like how the health care law, makes some cuts and changes to that. So there's all sorts of things that actually just don't add up, even though they say they're being ideologically pure. And all of this is going to play out. These people get to Congress, and some of them will. Some of them will.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of this stuff is going to play out, and it's going to be ugly.
Well, right, but one of the points I think you make that is very serious is while, Christine O'Donnell is comedy gold, I mean, if you look at her series of statements, if you hear a Bill Maher or someone say, oh, well, she's nice, she doesn't have a mean bone in her body, but she's dangerous. I mean, her lack of knowledge, whether it's on science or anything else, is dangerous, I think.
Well, I'm married to a family of scientists. I got a little too exercised during the election when Sarah Palin started to go after the fruit fly. I'm sorry.
You never thought you'd see a mice with a fully functioning human brain, did you?
The fruit fly was a problem. And the mice-human thing, look, this is the worst kind of fear-mongering. I mean, it's ignorant. I actually don't think they have any a clue what scientists are doing for the advancement of our medicine, of our health, of our knowledge.
Oh, I mean, saying things like condoms spread AIDS. I mean, it just, you go, oh my God.
Let me just be clear though. Scientists use mice, and they use mice to help human health. Okay. We use mice, we use rats, we use yeast, we use bacteria. All of this happens. Now, you may be ignorant about what science is. You may not know where the pill comes from that you hope will cure you of whatever ailment you have. But it comes from that kind of thing. So don't go around talking about clones and hybrids when you have no idea about the medicine that you rely on for your everyday health. That tells me that these people are not serious.
Let's talk about the
biggest. Here we go again.
Let's talk about the biggest political match in the country today, and that is, of course, John McCain versus Lady Gaga in the
SmackDown.
My producer and I were talking about this before the show, Richard. It just is. It can't be said enough how sad it is about John McCain that, you know, he's not even in this primary anymore. And here's a guy that is on record saying, when the military tells me it's time, I will vote. I mean, he literally has reversed himself on every position he has ever had. And, you know, maybe one of the things that stops the Don't Ask, Don't Tell today, correct? From being repealed.
He'd be a very important voice on this, no question about it. John McCain's brand, his career, was built on authenticity, on a man who had principles, he really didn't care what people thought about him, but he stuck to his guns and spoke his mind, and we all loved that. And, you know, the really sad thing here is that he's just become so desperate to cling on to office. And, you know, it's like watching an old heavyweight who doesn't know when to quit. And, especially at this time, to have a politician, any politician, but especially John McCain, do anything, say anything, no matter what he said before, to cling on to office when he's had a really good record and a huge career.
Yeah. Well, it's sad.
It really is sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad when you know, look at, what is it, 80% of the American people think we should overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The courts, of course, are way out ahead of everybody.
Come on. This isn't some crazy 60s liberals who dodged the draft. They're the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Right. Well, it's the president's like, and it's a joke, but, you know, if you want to go forward in your car, you put it in D. If you want to go back, you put it in R. I mean, it just seems like on every issue, if you want to, you know, regress, that's your choice this time around. Do you have a sense how this is going to come out today, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell vote?
You know, I have not tracked this enough. I think these kinds of votes in election year are extremely tough. We all know where this is headed. If it doesn't happen now, it will happen soon. And soon meaning a year, 2 years maximum. You look at the polling and the attitudes, the numbers are shifting so quickly by double-digit orders of where the population is. I don't believe that there are politicians out there who really feel that strongly, either way, on this side of the issue. They're trying to keep in line with the districts, the voters. The polls are going to be what decides it. And it's sad because, you know, we're talking about discrimination, about being an inclusive society, and it really is the worst kind of poll-driven vote.
It is clear. I mean, you know, all you need is one line from as the court said, it is unconstitutional, you know, period. And you know, again, my producer and I were talking about this. I think part of the problem is this was never implemented the way it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and it's not. You know, it became this series of witch hunts.
Right, and you've got, like I said, you've just got a lot of very scared, very desperate politicians out there who are going to be worried about, is this the vote that's going to tip it? They don't want it. They've got too many troubles, and that's not just Democrats, that's Republicans too. So the politics of the moment isn't great. I don't know how the votes stack up.
All I know is it usually comes down to Olympia Snow. That's all I know. She holds the country in her hands. Richard,
she will take her time. Whatever she does, she takes her time.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, Richard Wolff, journalist extraordinaire, author of Renegade, The Making of a President. Richard, as always, a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, there we go.
Hooray!
All right, 20 minutes after the hour. Oh, I went long. I love him.
A little bit.
I just feel like we're sitting on the couch chatting together. I forget. Everything else disappears. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Representative Bruce Braley coming up right after the break. And then, hopefully, our Tuesday pal, Aisha Tyler from Toronto.
Yes.
Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Chris. Chris, this one's actually for you.
Oh?
I found out what it is about Christine O'Donnell. It's so irritating.
What?
How much does she look like Rachel Ray, first of all?
She looks a lot like Rachel Ray.
No wonder you don't
like
her.
Yeah.
And plus, she has that saccharine, irritating, and then she's got small square teeth, which doesn't put points on my board, personally. She's just awful. But also, why isn't Obama coming out right now saying, yeah, I hung around with the crazy Reverend Wright, but at least it wasn't Anton LaVey? And no one's bringing this up, you know?
Yeah, don't you love how they just dismiss this? It's like, what, having sex on a satanic altar and what? And it's, by the way, yet another lie, Christine O'Donnell on the whole witchcraft.
That witchcraft comment on Bill Maher. I was in high school. How many of you didn't hang out with questionable folks in high school? But no. There's been no witchcraft since. If there was, Carl Rove would be a supporter now.
Amy in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hello.
I am fine. I am a Southern libertarian agnostic voter down here in South Carolina. I'm not representative of the typical Southern voter. And I listen, and I just want to say, where Democrats are really making their mistake, and don't get me wrong, I'd love to see Democrats make mistakes, is that you have people like me who join the Tea Party joined the Tea Party Patriots for very specific reasons. I completely adhere to the three planks of what they stand for, which are all about is fiscal responsibility, constitutionally limited government, and free markets. That's it. I don't care how anyone feels about abortion. I don't care how anyone feels about gay marriage. I'm all for it. Doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. I don't care about someone's religion.
Right.
I care about the fiscal issues of this country, as do many Democrats.
Right. But Amy, then let's take one issue.
No, that's what I'm saying. I love Sarah Palin. I think she's been treated unkindly. I think I agree with her views. I like her personality. I was a single mom of four kids. I really relate to her.
Right, I understand, but let's talk about fiscal.
I would never support her for president.
Okay, well, good. We agree there.
And you have to understand, there are many, many serious voters out here like me.
I got it. Amy, unfortunately, we're out of time. I'm sorry. Oh, boy.
Yeah, she wanted to filibuster there.
Apparently. All right. I did have a word to get in, but not now. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Bruce Braley next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Recovering alcoholic used to work in this building.
Oh, you mean
Stephanie Miller.
It's not true. I'm not recovering. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our good friend, Representative Bruce Braley, joins us now from Iowa. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
You know what? I'm so happy the issue you're calling about, because for once I think it's something we all can agree on, which is very rare these days in politics, isn't it?
I would certainly hope so, but we've always been surprised by some of the reactions to our legislation.
Yes. It's if you came out with a Puppies Are Cute Act, I think you would get some Republican opposition, wouldn't you?
Yes. I think that's one of the things that we know about today's Congress is restoring common sense depends on which side of the fence you're looking from.
Well, let me explain the All-American Flag Act, which, part of this I didn't even know. It would seem like a no-brainer, but while federal law requires American flags purchased and used by the government are American-made, it currently only requires that 50%, at least 50% of the materials used to make the flag are American-made. So tell us what the act does.
Well, what it does is it simply requires that all U.S. flags acquired for use by the federal government be entirely manufactured in the United States. It seems like such a simple concept. It wouldn't raise any concerns regarding any of our existing trade agreements that we're obligated to. It wouldn't increase taxes or cost the federal government any money, and the Congressional Budget Office estimates that it would have no significant cost to implement. And it's just a part of a much larger effort that I've been working on along with many of my colleagues in our populist caucus to reinvigorate America's manufacturing economy.
Well, you know, again, a common sense bill, it just ensures we're spending American tax dollars here rather than spending our money and our jobs overseas. I mean, that's the thing that kind of cracks me up. Out here in California, we have, of course, people like Carly Fiorino running, who's, you know, outsourced God knows how many jobs personally overseas. And this seems like a no-brainer that I feel like the Republicans, I mean, our friend Ed Schultz talks about this all the time. I mean, he's
absolutely
a big Made in America guy.
Well, and for the past 33 years, we've had trade deficits totaling $6.7 trillion. So I'd like to hear Carly Fiorina explain that to the voters of California. You go down to the port of Long Beach, you'll see all these highly sophisticated finished products coming in, and you'll see scrap metal and cardboard going over to China.
Right, right. I mean, that seems like to me too. You know, obviously, everybody says this election is going to be about jobs, and it seems like one of the first steps to take to try to keep more jobs in America, right?
Exactly, and that's what's so frustrating, Stephanie, is our populist caucus released our American Jobs First platform over a year ago to promote legislation that's going to create more good-paying jobs here in America. And I was very happy when Majority Leader Steny Hoyer incorporated most of that platform into a larger Make It in America plan. And last week when we returned to Washington, I saw the Majority Leader, the Speaker, and everyone in leadership sporting Make It in America buttons, which is part of that legislative initiative to pass bills that increase American manufacturing and create new jobs. It's a very simple concept, but it's one that requires deliberate action.
Congressman Braley, I saw a new poll out today, ABC News Yahoo poll. It has a message, of course, for both sides. Many respondents, including a clear majority of independents, have little confidence in either party's ability to do more for the economy. And I think that's, you know, I think President Clinton talked about this, the thing that we have to address, because to me, it's not going to be the same. Republicans are going to go back to the policies that got us where we are economically. How do we get that message out more clearly?
Well, I think one of the things that we have to do is put our cards on the table and discuss what we're going to do to stimulate the economy and create jobs. That's why two of the pieces of legislation that I've been advocating for as part of this Made It in America plan that have already passed out of the House need to be passed by the Senate. One of those is the National Manufacturing Strategy Act, which was in our American Jobs First platform, and it would require a comprehensive national manufacturing strategy, and the President would set up a national manufacturing strategy board within the Commerce Department, and they would conduct a comprehensive analysis of the manufacturing sector, covering everything from trade to financing to the defense industry, and then they would develop a national manufacturing strategy containing short and long-term goals and specific recommendations on how to achieve those goals.
Mm-hmm.
We also passed the End the Trade Deficit Act, which would require a coherent trade strategy to achieve balanced trade. You know, the Republicans' idea of balanced trade is simply increasing our exports while doing nothing to take care of the huge imbalance we have with imports. And we passed this bill unanimously in the House, and the Senate needs to act quickly so we can begin the process of balancing our out-of-control trade deficit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm curious. I think I saw Howard Dean on TV last night, and he, you know, his prediction is still that the Democrats will hold the House and the Senate. I know there's a Gallup poll out. It's showing it basically tied or Democrats up now in a generic poll. I mean, I think that all you can do is just try to clearly articulate these issues as to what we're going to do, right?
That's right. I think this is going to be a turnout election. Everybody agrees on that. And there's a lot of talk about a so-called enthusiasm gap, but everything I'm seeing is that enthusiasm gap is closing and moving in our direction. And I think it's because we have two challenges. One is to present voters with a very clear contrast between the visions of our party. So here in Iowa, the Republican Party wants to abolish Social Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Energy, and the Department of Education. The three departments that address what Iowans are most known for, education, energy, and agriculture. They want to get rid of them. We also have to give voters a reason to vote for us, not just a reason to vote against our opponent. And by articulating clearly what we believe in and what we're going to do to move this country forward and create jobs,
we're going
to get those voters back.
Yeah, except the Republicans are helping by nominating more and more startling candidates.
Startling, that's a good way to put it.
That'll startle us off the couch.
On Tuesday night.
Oh, boy. Hello. Boy, howdy. Congressman, you know, it's interesting. Right before the break, I was on the phone with a woman who I wish I could have continued to talk to. We hit a hard commercial break. But, she's someone that says, oh, I'm an independent. I'm in the Tea Party. I don't care about, any of these social issues. And then they sort of talk about the things that purport to be, the principles of the Tea Party. And it doesn't make any sense. She agrees with me that Sarah Palin is completely unqualified to be president, but she really likes her. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, right, it seems like this is just a weird year, if nothing else.
Well, look, I get it because my district is a microcosm of the country. It's 40% independent voters and evenly split between Democrats and Republicans. That's how we structure our districts in Iowa. And a lot of those independent voters are uneasy because of the enormous crisis we've come through and a sense of uncertainty about the future and what the economy is doing right now. And we need to get out and engage them, including the Tea Party activists, because I've had some very meaningful interactions with Tea Party activists in my district.
Right. Well, this is what I was going to say is I really wanted to get into a discussion with her because candidates like whether it's a Christine O'Donnell or whoever, they just say sort of amorphous things like liberty. I'm for liberty. It's like, well, who isn't? it doesn't break down to what they're going to do. Like this woman said, Chris, what did she say? The pillars are fiscal conservatism that
right.
she cares about. Well, first of all, Congressman, how do you say that? And then you vote for the Bush tax cuts for the top 1% that's going to add $700 billion. To our deficit.
There is no way to justify those two things.
Right.
They're inconsistent.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. And in the Tea Party, because she was saying I was trying to understand why she's in the Tea Party, because the other thing is that started as a way to protect big insurance companies. There's nothing populist about that, right?
No. And that's the thing we tried to emphasize with this strong distinction between populism that's constructive and designed to move forward by creating a stable and expanding middle class. And a populism that's just pitchforks and burn the house down.
Right.
It's a huge difference.
Well, I mean, this is the other thing. Then what else did she say? Constitutional integrity something. Meanwhile, here we go again, Congressman, where the Republicans are the ones talking about, certain things that might be taken out of the Constitution that they don't like the 14th Amendment.
Or, right.
I'm trying to...
Or the First Amendment, freedom of religion. Yeah, that's...
Right.
Let's talk about those things, because it's one thing to wave around a copy of the Constitution. It's another to actually read it and study it, which is what I've done for the last 35 years of my life. And one of the things that we know is that governing is not always neat and clean, and you have to continue to engage the American people about these values that underlie the Constitution and what they really mean in practice.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. I think all you can do, Congressman, is have the conversations you're having with Tea Party people in Iowa that I'm having with this woman on the phone. I mean, I really want to talk to her more because I'm trying to understand. She said, I don't care about abortion or gay marriage. I'm for gay marriage. She described herself, I think, as a libertarian.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you have to look at who this party is then, because John McCain is the one that might stop Don't Ask, Don't Tell from being repealed. So, you know what I mean? It's like when people say, oh, I'm this, then go, well, look at the candidates. I mean, and I think President Clinton said that, right? You have to look at the candidates that they've nominated, whether it's a Christine O'Donnell or a Rand Paul or a Sharon Angle, and go, this is what they're for. Are you for this, for destroying Social Security, for ending the Department of Education, right?
That's right. In fact, the Iowa Republican Party has put an 80% requirement in their party platform. If you don't agree with 80% of this platform, we'll shut off the flow of money to you. So the litmus test is very clear. Our challenge is to educate voters and make them understand the radical ideas that are being proposed on the other side.
Well, that would be my contention, is the Republican Party, particularly the Tea Party candidates. This has become the Tea Party, hasn't it? I mean, I think it is so far out of the mainstream and to the right of you know, of most Americans, that I think we just have to, you know, keep making that case, don't we?
Well, we do, and the, you know, the sad reality is that you watch what's happening in the Republican Party, and they are running scared from the Tea Party, and it's driving decisions that are being made in Washington, in state legislatures, and local elected races, because everyone is concerned of being stigmatized by the Tea Party as being not far enough to the right, and so it's very difficult to have rational conversations anymore.
Yes. So that's why this was a breath of fresh air. Congressman Bruce Braley of the great state of Iowa, thanks so much for taking time for us, as always.
It was great to be on the show. Thanks,
all right.
Steph.
Thank you, sir. There we go.
Hooray! I like him.
I know. We've talked health care a lot, but you know, that's the other thing. Is a lot of these things are just kicking in now.
Yeah.
The benefits of that, and that's the other argument we just got to keep making, that you cannot really be for a party that wants to again have you be discriminated against.
Sure.
Drop you for a pre-existing condition or anyway. So, all right, Aisha Tyler.
What?
It's a telephonic Tuesdays with Tyler.
Oh my God.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. I came to get down. I came to get down. So get down to your feet and jump around.
Oh, indeed. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Indeed. You must get up to get down. Word. 50 minutes after
the
hour.
Stop it right now.
Mm. All right. You know what? It's Tuesday. I'll leave that to... What did one listener call it? You and Aisha Tyler are a twisty cone of comedy fun.
Yes.
All right.
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, it gives us...
Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler. Tuesdays with Tyler. Good morning, BFF.
Good morning, lovey. How are you doing?
Good morning, other half of my twisty cone of comedy fun.
I brought sprinkles. Well, I would bring sprinkles if I was actually in the United States.
Yes.
I have to send you sprinkles from abroad.
What sort of secret special project are you working on in Toronto? Can you tell us, or would you have to kill us?
You know what? I will say that I'm working on a secret special television project, but it'll be in the paper probably sometime this week, and then we can discuss it more thoroughly.
Well, now, isn't that intriguing?
Super fun.
All right, good.
Super fun.
Did you get
that's something to do with that.
Did you get my email about my pathetic story?
I did. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. I said, your sad story of tears by the side of the road.
Yes, I went. I was
yes.
trying to get to Aisha Tyler's birthday party. It ended in tears and aloneness, like everything does in my life.
Well, just so you know, I was crying in tandem on the other side because you weren't there. In the corner with my mascara running down my face, booze out of the bottle, one shoe, torn pantyhose. It was a terrible pillow.
Anyway, I'm very sorry. I'm such a loser. I don't want to hear about how fabulous the party was. Anyway.
No worries. That was sensational.
So
everybody got a bag full of gold doubloons. That's what you missed.
Damn it.
Aisha
Tyler. Oh, a pony. She gave away mini horses like Cuddles.
Ponies, yeah. I had to give your pony away. I had to give your pony to House Parks after that.
Oh, now I hate you. All right, Aisha Tyler, you know, the comedy gold that has happened since we last spoke, of course, is Christine O'Donnell.
Oh, she's so exciting.
WTF,
she is
LOL.
So exciting. LMFBAO, ROSROTFL, WTF.
I mean, seriously, did you think we would ever see a comedy creation of this sort?
She's sensational. She's even better than the crazy black guy that was running on the Democratic side. What was that, like South Carolina? Who wanted them to make dolls of him? Do you remember that guy?
Yes.
He was like, we can end the recession by making tiny Ken dolls of me, dressed as bus drivers and popcorn popper maker guy. I mean, it was like, what? But she beats him. awesome. She's awesome.
Yeah.
She's awesome. What she said was, hey, apparently after Sarah Palin, it doesn't matter that you took a bunch of topless photos in college and drank your way through graduate school and apparently ate a turkey sandwich on top of some virgin's blood, some virgin's pooled blood. Hey, anybody can get into politics. Look at me. So exciting.
Yeah, even Carl Rove said, I love about the witchcraft stuff. She's got to deal with it and explain it and put it in its most sympathetic light.
Right?
How do you put witchcraft in?
How do you put Wiccan sex on a bloody altar into a positive light? You know what you do? You put pearls on it. That's what you do. You get a suit and you wrap it in some cheap pearls from Ross. And it's just like a makeover. Like, you know, just a political renaissance for that woman.
Yeah, she's wow.
She's like, I know everyone's upset about the whole witchcraft thing, but I've got new bangs. How do you like my bangs?
And at least she no longer crimps her hair.
Yeah.
It's all growth. It's all moving forward for her.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And by the way, I'm sure you will join me for the Million Masturbators March that I'll be leading in Washington against her platform. You will give me a hand, won't you?
With that? As long as I don't have to do it in public. That's a private activity. Thank you.
wacky. We were saying... Well, I mean, I don't know what you think is going to happen in these midterms, but I think that, you know, we were saying the polls right now are already pulling more even. I mean, I just think in some ways it's the biggest gift we could have. I mean, that'll close the enthusiasm gap. People going, holy, we can't let these nutcakes get in office.
Right. I mean, you just can see those Tea Party rallies where everyone's saying, yay, get Obama and replace him with the broad who did witchcraft and has a poor mastery of the English language and is apparently reenacting single white female on Sarah Palin in real life. I mean, literally, Sarah Palin's going to wake up with like a stiletto pump in her temple any day now.
It's so all about Eve, isn't it?
Oh, my God. It's terrifying. But, you know, thank God people are paying attention. I mean, it's really like, you know, you get a turkey sandwich and you think, no, I want ham. And then the ham sandwich comes and there's a finger in it. And you're like, oh, the turkey was better.
I guess the turkey
was so much better. I like turkey. The turkey's not exciting, but the turkey is getting the job done. You know what I'm saying? The turkey is delivering on its promise of being turkey and not ham with a finger.
Yeah, the ham with a hangnail, while exciting.
I will say that there's an election deal. They're having elections up here in Canada as well, and I've been watching the news. It's very exciting. The conservatives here are so much more well-behaved than our conservatives. You know what I mean? Like, they would never accuse Obama of being a socialist. They would just accuse him of, like, not separating his recycling properly. You know what I mean?
Very polite.
Yes, it's just more pleasant, the tenor up here. It's so, so lovely. I'm like, no one's punching anybody else? No one burned anybody in effigy? What's happening?
they actually have health care that no one's trying to defund?
They're having a conversation. Yeah. They're talking to each other.
Yes. Let's talk about the big political match today, which is, of course, Lady Gaga versus John McCain on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
That's the big one. you know, it's the end. You know, we're into, like, the millennial decline when the big kerfuffle is between someone who might be transgendered and refuses to admit it and Lady Gaga.
Hey!
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 And I think John McCain clearly pandering to his far-right base again. He may be the one wearing the red meat dress. Get it? Because it's red meat for the conservatives. Peace.
Wonga, wonga, wonga. This 10 minutes is packed, ladies and gentlemen. This is packed. This is like a bonus hot pocket. Look at all the meat in here. I also think that there's got to be a part of John McCain who wakes up every night in the middle of the night, just like in a hot flop sweat, and goes, "How did I get here?" When I'm arguing with a pop star who runs around in public in her underwear. How has it come to this?
Well, and 80% of the American people agree with her that Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be repealed.
Exactly. He is just clinging. Talk about clinging to guns and religion. This guy is just clinging to, like, 1967. Just clinging with, like, one vice grip, one kung fu grip, kung fu grip of a hand.
With his age-spotted, liver-spotted hands.
Poor guy. It's got to be terrifying for him to just see, you know, just see the future running away. They got the iPads and those tiny phones. And
I know.
Yogurt that comes in a tube. It's a fucking fun.
We're out of time. I miss you already. Tuesdays with Tyler, everybody.
Oh, my God.
There she goes.
We'll figure it all out. We'll figure it all out.
All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, coming up at the bottom of the hour. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie. Voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Andy did. Here's an idea. In a cattywampus election year, they want me to bring back Goldwater Miller 2012. You remember the... I don't even remember. Did we concede? We were drunk. I don't remember what. Cece Goldwater, Barry Goldwater's granddaughter.
Right.
And me, Bill Miller's daughter. It was the Goldwater Miller 1964 team. We ran again, remember, in 2008?
Yes.
I'm a little fuzzy. As you know, most of my brain cells soaked in Chardonnay.
I don't remember whatever became of that.
Oh, family name, no skills, just like W. That was our platform. Ex-Republican girls gone wild. We had a bunch of them. We couldn't even settle on a campaign slogan.
No.
Exactly.
It was kind of disorganized.
But, you know, Andy is right. This is just the kind of year we could win in, for God's sakes. With the Christine O'Donnells of the world, we both have better bangs, Cece and I.
You did rock the bangs.
Listen, we ran on the completely unqualified platform, and now she stole our act. Andy writes, Steph, I think after the 2010 elections, all of us listeners should register Republican, then vote for Goldwater Miller in all the primaries. This gets a little convoluted, this conspiracy snossage. You can run on the Tea Party platform against gays, immigration, and the majority of America. When anyone brings up anything you've said in the past, just deny it. It works for Republicans.
Yeah.
Goldwater Miller has the name recognition, and the majority of the Tea Party will not realize it's not the same team as in 1964.
Ah, that is true.
They do not tend to research their candidates well, so they probably will not realize that both of those candidates are dead now.
Yeah.
They probably will not. It'll be lost on them. After you win, you can retire. Cece can nominate Obama for VP. Then she can resign, and Obama can nominate Clinton. I think that also lets Obama run again in 2016. Andy, it's convoluted, but it might just work. We even went on the interwebs and found an old Goldwater Miller ad someone did. I mean, we have all the stickers.
When John McCain falls asleep on the floor of the Capitol, wonder what he dreams about. Maybe he dreams about that time he got all cuddly with George Bush.
Think that gay marriage should be allowed.
Or that time he got real close to Jerry Falwell.
I do not believe that gay marriage should be legal.
Isn't it time for a real change? Isn't it time for four boobs instead of two? Cece Goldwater and Stephanie Miller have never eaten puppies. Never. Can John McCain say that? Cece Goldwater and Stephanie Miller will service our troops. All of them.
Okay, boy, line up. We got 2 minutes each. 2 minutes.
In a secret room in the White House, Vice President Stephanie Miller will give our troops the PLC they deserve.
Oh, boy. Mom's gonna need some more Botox, some lozenges.
All right, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Wow. That's a magical memory.
Somehow you didn't win.
I don't see how that
possibly
could have gone wrong. We could this year, though. Are you kidding me? If Christine O'Donnell could get
just
in.
Just have sex at an altar, satanic altar. Covered with blood.
Well, and what another similarity between me and Christine O'Donnell. I do a fabulous exorcist impression.
That's true.
I made my career on...
A Linda Blair impression. Thank you. Your mother sucks lollipops in hell.
Okay, so I'm just saying.
That lollipops. Catherine Hepburn impression.
I don't know how that fits in, but I'll find a way.
Hey, if I can do W.C. Fields, find a reason to do W.C. Fields.
I started Immaturity. Immaturity is back now with Christine O'Donnell.
And he's not.
You're not the boss of me. George and Tempe.
Well, I just haven't ducked off of my camera since I am the official photographer of the Goldwater Miller campaign.
That's right. Indeed you are.
And, you know, there's absolutely no shortage of immaturity. There's some on the left, too. I actually own YouReNotTheBossOfMe.com.
Really? Really?
I sure do. You should check my post out this morning.
Wow.
And in addition, you are one of the featured links at the top of the
Wow. Blog. You know, I wonder, Chris, where do old websites go to die? What happened to GoldwaterMiller08.com? Is that, does it just die, or?
I think it's still up. I think it's still up.
Really? A lot of your fabulous photography is up there.
Oh, that's great. Well,
from the big rally we had. Right, we had a big rally in Phoenix, and I think that was it.
No,
Firefox can't find the server at goldwatermiller08.com.
See? It died.
Yeah. And, I think Apocryphal but True died as well.
All right, George. Thank you. Yeah, what do we do? Oh, no, we had one here in L.A., and then we had a little thing in Seattle, and then we lost interest.
We did one in Phoenix, too.
That's what I said. We did one in Phoenix, one in L.A., one in Seattle, okay. And then we were done. Then we were tuckered out.
Yeah.
Then we were like Fred Thompson. We're like, you know, I need a nap.
I'm pretty tired. Think I'll go home now.
I had quite the morning this morning.
Did you, Jim?
I was on the computer seeing what's going on in the world, and the little kitten Teddy was up playing with everything. Just
yes.
Climbing all over the place. Left the room for a while, came back, and I just heard mew, mew. And I thought, oh, and he's falling behind the desk. I'm tearing things apart, and I'm looking, where'd you go, kitty? And I realized it was coming from outside. And the other cat, Tommy, the gigantic one, was climbing up my screen outside of my office. I don't know how the hell he got out, but a big cat like that, you notice it. That was
weird. Your morning?
Whew. Jazz has snuck out when I've opened the door to get the paper, and I didn't see him sneak out. And about half an hour later, I heard him, meow, meow, meow.
This whole independence thing, not such a good idea.
Yeah.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
That's my favorite book title. If you leave me, can I come too? All right. What was I going to say? Oh, Jim, at least you weren't arrested for pumping breast milk while driving.
What?
Well, not this week.
Listen, we live in L.A. You have to multitask behind the wheel. A woman, we spend so much time in traffic, for God's sakes. A woman pumping breast milk into a container while driving on an interstate was issued a warning for distracted driving. State police troopers have encountered several extreme examples of distracted driving over the years. This woman's the champion, though. Including a woman who was watching an episode of the TV program Gilmore Girls on a laptop, as well as eating, putting on makeup, and texting on her cell phone.
Oh, dear. That's multitasking.
Yeah, and she's still alive? How many people did she kill?
Nobody.
In that episode.
She's fine. Oh, are you okay, Jim?
No, I've had this cough for ages.
Oh,
I'm probably dying.
Oh, no, that's the beginning of a Lifetime movie.
That's,
yes.
He's coughing.
He's had that cough for a while.
What? No.
I wonder what it means. All right, no.
Well, I've lived in L.A. for most of my life, so this could be part of the problem.
All right, the president defended his economic program in starkly personal terms Monday after coming face-to-face with supporters who said bluntly that he had let them down. Did you see this town hall
thing? And you know what? The woman who was saying to him, you know, I'm tired of defending you, he was kind of laughing at that, and I was like, yeah.
I didn't think he was laughing.
He was laughing. It was an open laugh. I'm sure it was a nervous laugh, but it was a laugh. And I thought it was just the wrong...
Well, it was, I don't know. This is the thing that I feel like, is that really fair to this one kid that is the American dream dead? And that's Obama's fault? I mean, it's just, and I don't think the American dream is dead. It's just the president yesterday.
Obviously, for the millions of people who are still out of work, people who have seen their... home values decline, people who are struggling to pay the bills day to day, it's still very real for them.
You know, here's how I wonder how this happened. That, you know, when you look at his life story, and he said this yesterday, the whole reason I ran because my life is a testament to the American dream. What's his name? The moderator? It's like, in a way, one of the questions was the Republican talking point. He asked him whether his elite education, personal style, and racial heritage might make it hard for average Americans to believe he's feeling their suffering.
That wasn't noted, was it?
What's that?
No, it's nonsense. It's because true progressives were hoping he'd be more of a progressive than he is, and that he would have closed Gitmo and listened Paul Krugman instead of Tim Geithner, and a whole list of things that progressives are disappointed in.
Well, I think they may be hanging in the wind, by the way. Geithner and Summers, not sure about that. He was, but he said, I thought he made a good point. He said, I think when unemployment's high and people are having a tough time, it doesn't matter if I was green, it doesn't matter if I was purple, people would still be frustrated, and understandably so. Mm-hmm. The president.
But here's what I can't do. I can't give tax cuts to the top 2% of Americans. 86% of that money going to people making $1 million or more, and lower the deficit at the same time. I don't have the math.
He said, I understand that times are tough for everybody. I understand your frustration, but you know. Here's this whole thing, Jim. I don't want a man blubbering like Boner. I don't need a leader to you know, they keep saying that thing like, oh, he's not expressing empathy the right way. You know, I want him to do stuff, and my opinion is he is doing the right stuff to move us in the right direction. It goes without saying it's too slow for a lot of people, but, you know, he added new consumer protection rules on things like mortgages and credit cards will help the middle class, as would tax breaks for small businesses mm-hmm. that create new jobs. Mm-hmm. It's like Bill Clinton said, he is doing stuff, he's doing right. the right things, and
absolutely.
He's just going to articulate that. These nutcakes on the right are just running on, like, words, like, mm-hmm. I'm for liberty, it's... But who isn't? You know,
they're getting all of the press.
We want our country back. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Liberty, huh?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, though they've been using code words for a long time, like, yeah. especially Bush with his religious little clues, like, I've been a good steward of the environment. You know, little biblical things that yeah. let him know. I'm on your side.
Yeah. Yeah,
can't exactly. wait for Armageddon. Armageddon, tired of waiting for it.
Buy stock in rapture helmets.
Yeah.
All right. There's only one thing that can solve all the problems in the country. Goldwater Miller. Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you, Stephanie. And
yes.
Just really calling to offer. Now it's a two-pronged call.
Yes.
I'm a CPA with a little bit of experience filling in the forms for political campaigns, and I'm calling to offer my services to the Goldwater Miller 2012 campaign.
Thank you.
And I'm very frustrated. The Democrats are not pointing out that in the last 6 months of the Bush administration, we lost 4 million jobs. In the first 6 months of the Obama administration, not only did we turn that around and stop losing jobs, but started posting monthly gains. You know, not the gains we want, but they're gains. We stopped the bleeding, and we started healing the patient.
Yep, I agree with you. And by the way, Dave, Goldwater Miller will need a lot of help because, as you recall, we're very, very lazy.
Well, you know, I'm okay with that. I'll be happy to work with you.
Thank you. All right, I'm just saying, Christine O'Donnell has opened the door, hasn't she, Jim, for, you know, brunettes with bangs that...
Yes.
Have never really had a real job that just want to live off the public teat.
She's gotten rid of the bangs, though. Hasn't she?
Yeah. I can do that. I've got a comb. But no, it's because that's what it is. It's these retread old hacks that have lost time and time again, like you know.
Stephanie Miller.
And CeCe Goldwater. So I'm just saying.
Have you heard from your running mate lately?
I could be Christine O'Donnell's mini-me.
Have you heard from your running mate lately?
No, I got a caller now. We have heard the call.
Maybe she's moved on.
I don't think so.
What?
We came up with a whole idea in a drunken stupor at my house. We can do it again. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've never heard such a bunch of penny, any, dime, a dozen, two-bit half-wits exaggerating their enemies and bellyaching over the tiniest, stupidest personal problems.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Guess the big wheel has stopped turning.
Yes.
Aw.
Aw. Leonard Skinner died. Yeah, not the entire band.
No.
Most
of them did.
In the plane crash.
His name was Leonard Skinner, and he was their PE teacher, I believe, in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes.
And he died just now. Well.
I don't think just now.
Well. We got the news just now.
Otherwise, you would be a suspect, because how would you have had Sweet Home Alabama queued up that quickly? Hmm? I always like that Greta Van Susteren at the scene of the crime a little too quickly. Sure, it was Vandersloot.
Yes, my ratings went up. What's your point?
All right. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to type in the promo code Stephanie, won't you? All right. We've been talking a Tea Party, as was the president yesterday.
It's not just a matter of implementing good policies, but also setting a better tone so that everybody feels like we can start cooperating again instead of going at loggerheads all the time.
Oh, no, you can't!
Yes, hell no, you can't.
Hell no, you can't!
By the way, oh, who's that right-wing nutcake? Oh, Steve King from Iowa.
The stunning Steve King.
Yes. He has demanded a blood oath from the boner to shut down the government.
A blood oath?
Yes. I guess they're back in Sigma Chi or something.
No, it's more like Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Order of the Arrow.
Blood Brothers.
Yes. He is now demanding a blood oath from House Minority Leader the Boner to include a repeal of health care reform in every appropriations bill next year, even if a government shutdown results.
Mm-hmm. Good thinking.
That needs to be.
It worked so well last time.
Yes. That needs to be at the top of the Boner's list.
The top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people.
Right.
That's at the top of our list.
They didn't want health care. They want to die lonely in pain in the gutter somewhere because they spent all their money trying to get health care and are denied it anyway because of pre-existing conditions. This is the top of our list.
Wow.
Wow. I got to cut back on the Rob Roy's, clearly.
Yeah, I don't see. That's the whole thing I don't get about the president doesn't have enough empathy or
whatever.
That's you know what, he's over. That's too much. When you get in the cowardly lying crying fits in a man, that's and nothing heavy has fallen on you.
Happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope. We don't have time to do that.
All right, Tim.
Somebody stepped on my tail.
All right, Tantrum Man. Speaking of repealing health care, the only way the GOP can really deal a mortal blow is by taking back the White House in 2013, the Republicans say. But even then, the clock would be running out with the law well into its fourth year of implementation, just a year away from when the major benefits kick in. So despite the long odds, Republicans zeroing in on a nibble-around-the-edges strategy, a long-term but so far loosely defined campaign to choke off funding piece by piece and weaken the law to the point the lawmakers feel they have no other choice but to walk away from it. That's what they're offering you, that kind of sort of positive peeling away one by one of, you know, your right not to be discriminated against for a pre-existing condition and yada, yada, yada. All right, the president yesterday.
I think that America has a noble tradition of being healthily skeptical about government.
Jim, I don't know if you heard this Tea Party lady that called, and I wish I'd gotten into a discussion with her, because they throw out just a bunch of stuff, and none of it really makes sense. It's sort of, you know, it's like Bill Clinton was talking about, you know, we need to focus on exactly, like, what you're going to do. You know, like, Christine O'Donnell, besides being completely that crazy, beyond liberty, what are your actual plans?
Balanced budget.
Okay.
How do you do that? What programs do you cut, or do you raise some taxes?
That's a gotcha question. you're asking me questions out of context.
But that woman was a perfect example, wasn't she, Chris, of how confused the Republican Party is?
Yeah.
She said, I'm a libertarian Tea Party person. I don't care about, you know, abortion or gay marriage. I'm for gay marriage, and I like Sarah Palin. She's just like me.
But
she's not qualified to be president. I'm like, okay, I believe in fiscal conservatives. And it's like, well, okay. But then if you vote for Republicans, you're voting for the party that's fine with adding $700 billion to the deficit for the tax cuts for the rich. I mean, it's so confused. People are confused, it seems. So I didn't even get to who she's for then. Like, it's like this. Like I was saying, everybody talks about the energy behind the Tea Party, Jim. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, there's energy at a monster truck rally.
Like,
okay.
They're blowing up real good.
All right, the president.
The problem that I've seen in the debate that's been taking place in some of these Tea Party events is I think they're misidentifying sort of who the culprits are here.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
There's nothing populist or small government about what they're proposing. A lot of these, as somebody said to us yesterday, the whole Tea Party movement came up defending big insurance companies.
Yep.
That's what it was about.
That has to be repeated over and over and over again, that this whole thing was started by big insurance companies who want to keep things exactly the way it is.
Yes.
But Democrats tend to say, oh, well, it's perfectly obvious. We don't need to point it out. Yes, you do.
Yes.
Constantly.
We will talk Tea Party, Christine O'Donnell, and much more with our Tuesday pal, Charlie Pierce, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're ageless. Seriously, the years go by, but the face doesn't change. I mean, you could be 20 or 500.
Thank you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, I love Tuesdays.
There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hi, I want to clear some things up from earlier in the program.
Yes.
First of all, Christine O'Donnell hasn't opened the door for anything in a long time.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, I don't even think she goes to In-N-Out Burger.
Wow.
You know, I mean, what do you do? What kind of existential crisis is when you discover that the little man in the boat is really a demon from hell?
You know, it's funny, Charlie. It's hard to even...
I know, seriously, I mean, you and CC, I think it's terrific, because not only do you have better bangs than she has,
yes.
I think you've probably had more of them.
Yes.
Hey!
Ah, with the ba, la, la, la. Listen, Charlie.
Yeah?
Wow.
You know, it is like comedy low-hanging fruit. It's hard to decide what to pick first, but, you know, the one thing I thought was lost in all the Christine O'Donnell stuff, the really craziest thing, is she said during the primary she heard the audible voice of God telling her...
You've got mail.
No, he said credibility. But what he maybe meant was you have no credibility. Get out of the race. But that's not how she interpreted it. Oh, what did I do?
Did you hang up on
her? I didn't. Did I hang up on you?
The sex police got me. The sex phone police got me. Oh, by the way, have you seen the latest thing, by the way, about her campaign expenditures?
No.
Melanie Sloan's group, crew in Washington,
yes.
The anti-corruption group.
Yeah,
right.
Apparently, she's been using the money from the suckers who finance her campaign to like live on.
Oh wow! Mm-hmm. Yeah,
including a bowling outing.
Oh man! Well,
I mean, you send her your 25 hard-earned dollars because you're nuts and you want to be represented by someone like you, and she's going to go bowling with it.
Oh, man.
Of course, as soon as she gets a 7-10 split, she's going to quit, so it doesn't make any difference. So.
Charlie, what I was asking before we lost you, isn't the craziest thing that she said she heard the audible voice of God during the primary?
I don't think that's quite as crazy as this whole notion that, like, when she was in high school, she went on the first date with the Satan guy.
Yes.
I mean, think about when you're in high school, okay? You know, the guy picks you up and he pulls up to a church, okay?
Yes.
But you figure you're a good sport. You'll go along with it. And you walk up and he says, let's go inside. And you say, well, gee, you know, I don't see a lot of Campari umbrellas out here. It just doesn't look like a restaurant. But I'll go along with it. And he says, let's go up to the altar. And you're thinking, you know, I don't see a maitre d' here, but I'll go along. And you get to the altar and there's blood!
There's blood! Oh! Blood! Yes.
You know, I mean, don't you at that point ask the guy to, like, go to, you know, don't you get a headache at that point? Oh, God, I'm dying. I have to go home right now.
I got a thing with a guy somewhere else. Yeah.
But anyway, the audible voice of God, that's a good one.
Yes.
That's a good one. And the audible voice of God is telling you to take your meds.
Yeah, exactly. I love your piece at Esquire.com. Can we calm down about Delaware's Tea Party already?
Yeah, that was. I mean, I was struck because, and I wrote it like that the night of the primary.
Right.
I was struck by the fact that suddenly, all of a sudden, we have to take this person seriously.
Right. Well, you say there's real danger in overthinking what happened. You said, you know, not only was her, the second her victory was assured, the requisite thumb sucking over what it all means got dialed up to 11 almost instantly.
Well, Chris Matthews went to the moon.
That's what he does.
It was really wonderful to watch.
Yeah.
He honestly believed that there was this hidden regiment of Hillary voters,
yes,
who were still frustrated from the primaries in 08.
Yes.
And were just dying to vote for anyone with ovaries.
Yes. his election night meltdowns are the most entertaining thing in the world.
There are moments of clarity which give you hope with Chris, but anything to do with the Clintons, he loses his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, and then the other thing is then he went to the further jump of comparing her to Reagan because we didn't take him seriously either.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I pointed out in the piece, by the time he ran for president, Ronald Reagan was a freaking giant.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the one who, you know, as you know from your own family history, he picked up the Goldwater banner and ran with it.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, he worked really hard. This woman's never had a job.
Yeah, you know, he spoke at the Goldwater Miller convention in 64 and you know, basically won on their platform 20 years later. But as you said, in a way they don't do it anymore. He built that over time with a lot of speeches.
God, he gave hundreds of speeches, thousands of speeches probably after 1964. So by the time he ran for president, if you were laughing at him, you were being silly because he almost beat an incumbent Republican 4 years earlier.
But, you know, will you point out something true and yet terrifying? You say Christine O'Donnell is a sideshow freak. She's a creature of an age in which politics have no meaning beyond performance art. She's a creature from the green room with no apparent public career beyond being available whenever some teenage booker from the cable shows needs someone to say something reliably stupid. She's one of those people who'd show up at CNN with a water bowl in her teeth if someone there blew a dog whistle.
It's true. She is the first truly pundit candidate. I mean, even Pat Buchanan had a career in government before he ran for before he became a pundit and before he ran for president.
Right. Yeah, no, even the pundits are better qualified than she is. They actually
Many of the pundits are. I'm not putting Mark Levin in there with her. But,
jeez.
She's no.
By the way, Mark Levin, Ron Jeremy, ever been in the same room at the same time? I don't think so.
Very good point, Charlie.
And Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Huh? Yeah.
And Ed Asner and Ernest Borgnine. Five very guys.
Sequel to the Three Amigos.
Charlie, we talk about this every week, but I mean, you know,
shave a cross circle in your back and get back to me. I'm
But this is, you know, where we were just talking before the break about the Tea Party, obviously, because everybody's talking about Bill Clinton was talking about, you know, there are some parts of it you have to listen to. But, I mean, you know, you look at the latest polls and, you know, now Democrats are either tied or up point in the generic. And I think it's anybody's game right now, isn't it?
I think it's getting back to the point where this is going to be pretty much your typical midterm election where the power is in, power loses seat.
Right.
I mean, I think the White House would be thrilled with that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Howard,
all his friends, it's almost impossible, and obviously a very weird circumstance in 2002 for Bush to run against that.
Wow, you have a crappy phone this morning.
I know. I'm not doing actual journalism on Cape Cod. I don't know what myself.
Oh, it's better now. It's
there
better.
We are. No, I mean, Howard Dean last night said, you know, he still predicts that Democrats will keep the House and Senate. Do you agree?
I don't know enough about the House races around the country to know. I think they'll keep the Senate because I think that of the O'Donnell Engel poll race, I think they win 2 or 3 at least. I cannot see. An entire state voting for Sharon Angle, even in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I've been to Las Vegas. People aren't that nuts.
Yeah. Again, let's get your take on the most watched political race today, and that is, of course, Lady Gaga versus John McCain. On Don't Ask, Don't Tell. What is going to happen on Don't Ask, Don't Tell today, do you think?
I'm really hoping that by tonight Chris Matthews has to interview Lady Gaga. Because his head will explode.
Yeah. What's up with the meat dress?
Miss Gaga.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not ringing a cow. What does that mean?
John McCain has gone from not being able to beat Barack Obama to barely being able to beat J.D. Hayworth to being life and death in a political struggle with Lady Gaga.
Well, you know,
what's next? Fighting over the last malted with Elmo?
But you know, doesn't it just kill you? That I mean, to me, this one issue, this one vote today, really crystallizes to me how out of step and how far right the Republican Party has gone. This is 80% of the American people think Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be overturned. It's just been ruled unconstitutional, and here we are with John McCain, who is on record saying he would vote for its repeal as soon as the military, came to him and told him that that's what we should do.
I mean, to me, and this goes along with a really good piece that's on Esquire.com right now by a guy named Colby Buzzle, who's a combat vet from Iraq, his piece on Esquire.com is about the Dream Act, about allowing the children of illegal aliens to serve and give them a fast track to citizenship.
Yep.
We need people to fight. I mean, what was the Barry Goldwater line? I don't care if they're straight. I just want them to shoot straight.
Yep, exactly.
That's the way I feel. We need people who are willing to go into the army
yep.
and risk their lives.
Yep. The president has this line that I actually love about, you know, when you want to go forward, when you get in your car, you put it in D. When you want to go back, you put it in R. But I don't know if you saw this headline, but here we are, you know, gay rights, of course, marching on. Don't Ask, Don't Tell will be repealed. Whether it's today or not, right? I mean, gay marriage, obviously, in state after state. Montana, the headline out of Montana. Montana Republican policy, make homosexuality illegal. Huh?
My man, Governor Stringtie Schweitzer, is not going to let that go through.
Yeah.
My favorite politician in America is not going to let that go through.
Well, it's not. That's the other thing. It's one of these Republican things that there's no, they can't do it. It's just a way of going on record to be mean.
It's a wedge issue.
And exclusive.
It's not just a wedge issue. And I don't know if I can say this on the Stephanie Miller Show, but it's to piss off liberals. That's all that matters.
Oh, you can say that.
Sure,
okay, well,
can.
That's what it's about. It's not about getting anything done. It's about who you can make angriest.
Yeah, it literally... Here is the headline. At a time when gays have been gaining victories across the country, the Republican Party in Montana still wants to make homosexuality illegal. First of all, just the logistics of that are a little mind-boggling, aren't they, Charlie? How would you even start to implement this?
Well, first of all, you arrest everybody with really well accessorized living rooms as accessories before the fact.
The party adopted an official platform in June that keeps a long-held position in support of making homosexual acts illegal, a policy adopted after the Montana Supreme Court struck down such laws in 1997. It falls under the crime section of the GOP platform. It states, "We support the clear will of the people of Montana expressed by legislation to keep homosexual acts illegal."
Wait a minute. The Montana Supreme Court struck this down 13 years ago?
Yes. Yes.
Where were these people?
Yes. Critics say the policy is a toothless statement, the effect of which is simply to make gays feel excluded and not be able to play in any of our reindeer games.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
It's all about bully politics, and it's absolutely nothing to do with reality. I think I told the story before. My cousin Jamie got married to his longtime companion right when it became legal here in Massachusetts, and my daughter, who was in, she was in grade school at the time, was bragging to her friends that she had been at a gay wedding that weekend. And I said, "This one's over. This controversy will be aged out within a generation."
Yeah.
Now we're at a point where kids don't want to go to a straight wedding. No, boring.
No, are you kidding me?
Boring.
No, but I'm serious because the young people today look at you like you've got two heads if you make an issue out of this.
Yep. Yep.
Pretty much. I mean, I can't speak for, whatever young Republicans there are out there. But mainstream kids, they're fine with it. And I have to, I'm no expert on military matters. I can't speak for this. But then again, neither are a lot of people who are on the other side of this. If the guy next to you in a foxhole can save your life, what do you care?
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
And there's poor old Grampy McSame holding on to the past with his liver-spotted, bony old hands.
I mean, I am amazed, and maybe I shouldn't be, but I'm amazed that he couldn't say to himself after getting beat, in 2008, all right, I had to adopt these nutty positions to get the nomination, but boy, I don't want to carry him around anymore. Screw it.
Yep. Yep.
Basically, I'm going to go back to where I was in 2000, where everybody really, really liked me, even though a lot of my politics were as reactionary as they are now. On a lot of issues, they weren't.
I know.
But he seems to be incapable of letting go of this stuff now.
I know. Well, now he wants the gays to get off his lawn.
You know what? I'm planning on going bowling with Christine O'Donnell, so what do I care?
Yeah.
She's picking up the tab, if not the guy behind the counter.
Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America. See you next week, honey.
See you guys.
Love him. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slag Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
This is for John Boehner.
Yes.
Are slurred speech and crying jags pre-existing conditions? I just wondered.
All right, let's go to Cordell in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Cordell.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, guys. I just had the most awesome thing happen to me. While I was enjoying the comedy stylings of Stephanie Miller and enjoying the conversation, I get a knock at the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, okay, who could that be? I'm trying to enjoy my favorite radio personality, so hopefully this is going to be quick. So I get to the door. And to my surprise, it's a teabagger.
No way.
Oh, my God. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what do you want? So she goes on this little tirade about how Democrats are evil and how we have supposedly ran the country into...
What? I thought teabaggers were independent and they were not a part of any party. What? I thought they were, huh?
It gets better. So she goes on a tirade how Rand Paul is great for Kentucky, all of our Republican candidates here are going to take back the city of Louisville, take back the state of Kentucky, and take back the United States. And so she tells me, can I count on you to vote Republican for, you know, the fall? So I told her, I said, you know what? Wait right there. I'll give you an answer in just a second. Up front, we kept our old Obama biting yard signs. So I go grab it, I put it right in front of her face, and I say, hey, this is who I'm voting for in the fall. I'm voting Democrat.
Oh, dear.
And, oh, my God, you talk about somebody who couldn't wait to get out of my yard. She got out of my yard so fast, all I saw was literally dust.
You're like, and do something about the roadkill on Rand Paul's head. All right. Thank you, Cordell, for that delightful story. John and
I used every Flintstone sound effect I had there.
Yeah, I was going to say, apparently it was Barney Rubble at the door.
Hey, Flint.
John in Durham, North Carolina. Hi, John.
Hi. You know, Steffi, while everybody's been distracted by the wacky witch of the East, Karl Rove, the man behind the curtain, came right here last night.
Oh.
And he announced the Republican economic plan. And I can tell you what it is real fast.
Okay.
You're going to get the economy moving.
Yes.
And give 125% of the growth to the richest 1%.
Yes. But thank God they haven't had a break in a while. All right. Hey, speaking of things from the past.
What?
Guess who has a new book coming out?
Who?
Donald Rumsfeld.
Rummy!
The title is Known and Unknown.
Ha, ha.
Remember
okay.
his famous known unknowns and the unknown knowns things?
That's actually kind of funny.
And the unknown gnomes. There's some gnomes you know and some gnomes you don't know.
I just hope that he reads the book on tape, frankly.
Chapter 1, Knowns and Unknowns. There are known knowns and unknown knowns. There are things you know that you know and things that you don't know if you know or you don't know that you know or not, you know?
No.
Chapter 2. Cheese and crackers. My stars and garters. Jumping Jehoshaphat. Chapter 3. Jiminy Christmas. I'll be a monkey's uncle. Holy mackerel. Doesn't that just take the cake? Chapter 4. My goodness gracious. Me oh my. You don't say. Fancy that. Well, I'll be dipped in spit. Hot diggity. The end, by cracky.
I was really hoping he was going to call it cheese and crackers or some other old man phrase that he uses. Lordy.
Cheese and crackers got all muddy.
He's also going to create a concurrent website, Rummy getting with the times.
Wow.
Yeah. With a slew of previously undisclosed documents from his decades of government service,
yeah.
The release of information surrounding the Iraq War in particular, plainly an attempt to bolster his standing in history.
Yeah.
Although probably be, you know, crayon drawings from his grandkids about where the weapons of mass destruction
shouldn't,
you know, this is how I knew.
Shouldn't that be up to the National Archives to release
you
that
think?
Stuff? It shouldn't be up to a civilian.
One would think. Yeah, I don't know.
Huh. That's odd.
And why didn't we see those previously? On
this one? Yeah.
I
all right.
Whipped him up in my garage, in the old wood shop.
I think he does. I think that's what he's been doing mostly is building those little bottles with ships in them and stuff in some kind of 70s dad workshop.
Well,
don't
it wasn't
think?
The Navy. It was a base. It's a basement with you know, wood paneling.
Yeah.
And shag carpeting.
Well, my house had one of those because I bought it in the house
a rumpus room
from a 1,000-year-old man. Yeah, he had some sort of workshop down there.
It's a Rumsfeld room. Rumsfeld.
Wait, your current house had
it? Yes. Yes. Where my office is now used to be a dad workshop thing with tools and, I don't know, sweet other dude stuff in there. I don't know.
Like a shop vac?
Yeah, shop. So let's talk shop, literally. Like shop class.
Wow. No.
Bandsaw. And
all right, here is, I think, the breaking news is that Harry Reid. Yeah, what do you use a vice for? I don't know.
To hold things.
Okay.
Like a C-clamp.
Like a... In the Pulp Fiction dungeon? That's not the one I'm thinking of. No, okay.
That's a ball gag, Stephanie.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go medieval on your
I got
ass.
One of those, but not in the shop. Okay. Harry Reid, I think, is perhaps finally becoming unglued from having to run against a bat crazy Sharon Angle.
I think so.
He had an unusual form of praise for New York's junior senator, Kirsten Gillibrand, at a fundraiser.
Kirsten. Yes.
He referred to her as the hottest member.
Boy, is she hot. Oh. I would do her in a heartbeat.
Oh, dude. Oh,
no. Might be my last heartbeat, but wowie.
Ha-cha-cha-cha.
Ha-cha-cha.
The comment prompted her to turn red, and then he
yeah.
Then he danced as fast as he can. He also discussed her knowledge of securities laws as extremely deep, and suggested she was better on certain
policy. While staring
policy.
At her boobs.
Yeah, while staring at her hotness, being mesmerized.
Nice save, Chevrier.
Hello,
I'm up here.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Baby, this hour brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do, protect all of your irreplaceable computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Don't wait. Start backing up your computer with Carbonite today. Go to Carbonite.com now. Do it now. Use my offer code Stephanie for my special offer. A 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Check it out. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Wow! If you're having a bad day, at least you're not this guy in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Laser used to remove a worm from a man's eye.
Yeah! I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Doctors rushed a Cedar Rapids man into a treatment room after they found a worm had taken up residence in his eye.
Why?
Doctors shot two rounds of laser blasts into his eye to kill the worm. He said he could see it from behind moving, trying to dodge the laser.
Oh.
He says he thinks he got the worm either when he was in Mexico or turkey hunting.
What?
I'm gonna go with Mexico. You don't. It's a. I don't know. Something I got in Ensenada once. I still don't think I'm shaking it. All right. Something I picked up at Husong's Cantina. I don't.
Oh, boy.
Who knows? All right.
You don't want to touch anything there.
No.
I think my bra's still on a chandelier there. But you know what? That's another story for another day. I don't need to get into now. Dog owners, beware. If you live in suburban Chicago and don't pick up after your pet, you might get tossed an unpleasant reminder. Police in Naperville say that a woman who stepped in dog feces outside her apartment appears to have retaliated by heaving it at the door of the neighbor who owns the dog. The police report, she also uprooted the sign telling residents to pick up dog waste and placed it on the neighbor's patio. I pick up after my giant mastodons, as you know, but I told you my pet peeve. Not only people that don't pick up the poop, but then the people that the other people that leave notes, the passive aggressive notes,
yeah,
on a rock. So now there's poop and there's a note telling someone. And the person, what are the chances the person's going to come back and see that and go, oh, you're right, I really should have picked that up. So now there's poop and a rock and a piece of paper. Thanks a lot.
Who brings a pen and paper out
I know,
hiking with
and
them?
And note paper.
Yeah,
the poop police.
Please pick up everything.
Poop police.
Prosecutors in Washington State say an 18-year-old woman stabbed a 19-year-old man for teasing her that her feet smelled.
No.
The man was found by police with a steak knife sticking out of his back. Officials say he will recover. Charging papers say the trouble started when Dallas Amber Smith was drinking. Oh, this is when the trouble always starts. And hanging out with friends and was challenged to do a backflip. Which she took... You know what? This could have ended a lot worse than it did, let me just say. When she took off her shoes to do the backflip is when the teasing started, and then the stabbing and the steak knife and the whole lot.
Wow.
Friends don't let friends do backflips drunk, is all
don't
I'm saying.
Don't do backflips in steakhouses, I guess. Yeah,
well,
yes.
Lesson there.
Nothing good ever comes of backflips in steakhouses, is what we're saying, while there's drinking involved. All right.
Especially with brown liquor.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
After 3 a.m. Many of the
under the crawl space.
In your house.
Yeah, in your house. Yeah.
All of the rules of the Stephanie Miller Show mashed into one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Julia sent a beaver stack. Wow, we haven't done this in a while. This is, I guess, in honor of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, hopefully being overturned today in the Senate. There was Gay Beaver.
Gay Beaver?
Gay Beaver. In the Bronx River.
Hmm.
The first.
That's the last place where I expect it to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Usually you expect that in the village.
The first beaver found, wow, in the city in 200 years. Now, that's a dry spell. After 3 years of solitude on the Bronx River, a beaver named Josie is now sharing his life with another buck-toothed mammal, but the relationship unclear.
Maybe they're roommates.
We all have some of those, and we don't really know.
Maybe they're just like Kate and Allie. They're just roommates.
Don't really know. A companion, a friend, a mate, an associate. We don't really know what it is, said the zookeeper. We have, however, doubled the population of beaver in New York City. Oh, hello.
Wow.
Beaver, Jim, was once central to the city's economy.
Hmm.
Oh.
So why did you leave?
All right. Thank you.
You knew that was coming there.
Thank you for that story. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids?
Step right up. Get your Republican talking.
Get your popping talking points and peanut-sized brains. Mm-hmm. Your brain must be this whatever.
Yeah, you must be this high to go on this ride. Yes. Okay. Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters on the Fox Business Channel. Huh, he's a skosh bit out of step with 80% of the American people on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, isn't he?
Don't ask, don't tell works.
Mm-hmm.
I serve with gays. All the military asked them to do, all the Army in my case asked them to do, was keep your private lives private.
Yeah. No.
Keep it off post. Don't show up at the first sergeant's Monday morning formation in your Liza Minnelli impersonator gear.
Uh-huh.
And if you did that, the Army did not go after you.
Well,
They made my voice high, all the gays. Look what they did to me. I really resent it. I used to have a big, manly baritone voice. But look what they did to me.
I'm almost Derry Jeffrey, for God's sakes. What's the matter with you?
We represent the lollipop gear.
The Manelli gear.
A lot of guys weren't as manly as I was in the Army, but I don't care.
He's kind of got an outdated view of what gays do,
too. First of all, you know, someone was saying this last night on TV, but it's true. That part of the problem, Jim, with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, is it was not implemented correctly. What Clinton thought was going to be don't ask and you don't tell, and
yeah,
it turned into
a
series
of telling.
Right, that's what I mean. It turned into a series of witch hunts, and it was not implemented properly.
They never punished the people who outed, right?
Yes, what happened to the first part of that is don't ask. Okay. Glenn Beck on the radio.
The president is trying to now, they're deciding over the weekend, whether or not to tie the GOP to the Tea Parties. I mean, he's looking for radicals. Maybe in one of these 2,500-page bills that they, you know, that they put together, they fundamentally transformed the dictionary, but I don't have a copy of that one yet. Do you? Where radical is somebody who wants to save the country, save the Constitution, and make sure that our children
freedom.
Aren't sold as slaves to China.
Oh,
I mean,
what?
What the
that's
hell?
Part of the president's platform. He talks endlessly about how his plan is ultimately to sell our children as slaves.
Two words, Dick Army. That right. And his little outfit that spawned the Tea Party.
Yeah. You don't have to try to tie the Tea Party to the Republican Party. Exactly. You don't have to try to tie them to the Republican
Party. They are the Republican Party.
Okay. Oh, dear. Rush Limbaugh. It's so cute when he tries to defend yet another bat Republican woman, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, a witchcraft comment. Everybody dumping in on this. And the context of this was she was asking, talking about Halloween and so forth. And it just is amazing. We know more about Christine O'Donnell right now than we know about Obama. Obama has dabbled in infanticide.
What?
Obama's dabbled in cocaine, for crying out loud. Mm. He even wrote about it.
Mm.
How about dabbling in Marxism?
Mm.
How about dabbling in economic destruction?
How about dabbling in the Dominican Republic with a case full of Viagra? How about... forget that one.
Now I've said too much, my friends.
I've said too much.
Wow.
God, I could hear you laughing.
By the way, Karl Rove kind of out of step with some of his fellow right-wing whacks. These are some, I guess, quotes for you. Jim, who said it's creepy? If you're at a satanic altar, that's a couple steps beyond witchcraft, dabbling in witchcraft. Is it just me? Who said that?
Uncle Arthur.
That was a bad guess. Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck a little creeped out by Christine. No. Who said, clearly she has some explaining to do about that? Who said that?
Oh, Ricky.
No, not Lucille
Ball. You got some explaining to do.
Old Lucy.
No.
Yeah.
Representative Mike Pence, right-wing tool of Indiana. Let's see, who said Delaware voters are probably want to know about what that was all about. My view is she can't simply ignore that. She has to deal with it, explain it, and put it in its most sympathetic light. As sympathetic as you can put it, you know, having satanic sex on an altar. Who said that?
Hermann Göring.
No, Karl Rove. Rethinking. Of. Who said, you know, usually I like to say it happens, but this is just in a new realm. I'm a live and let live kind of guy, but this is out there even for me. Said that.
Mick Jagger.
No. Joe Scarborough. And here's my personal favorite. Who said, I think the reality here is this adds to an aura of oddness.
Carrot Top.
Michael Gerson, the Republican.
Carrot Top has his own aura of oddness.
Rush Limbaugh on the
hit. Fraud is the best way, I think, to describe this entire administration. And now, of course, what's the media trying to do? Take every bit of attention away from Obama possible and focus it on Christine O'Donnell.
Yeah, because she hasn't said anything that would attract any kind of attention. It's just
see what they're doing? Look what they're doing! Don't look over there, look over here!
Oh, boy. All
just because it's a story that people are interested in, they follow it and film it and put it on the television.
Just because
what the hell?
Some hot chick says you shouldn't whack off and she had satanic sex on an altar.
Yeah.
What? The media? That's not a story.
No, if Hillary Clinton said that, none would be a story.
Okay, Chris Wallace now, having to explain, oh boy.
The disappearance of Ms. O'Donnell?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is not the program we were planning to bring you. Christine O'Donnell, the surprise winner of the Republican Senate primary in Delaware, agreed to come here live in Washington today to take our questions. However, late Friday night, her campaign canceled, saying O'Donnell was exhausted and had to return to Delaware.
Oh, yes.
Saturday morning, O'Donnell called me and said this. I got triple booked. I had been invited to go to church and then a picnic. I have to keep my priorities to Delaware voters.
Church and picnic. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Could you load the liar cannon?
Yeah. She was booked out of context.
Yeah, so that was two excuses rated that were different back to back from her campaign and then her.
And the dog ate her homework.
Mm-hmm. Later, on Face the Nation, Bob Schieffer said he wasn't aware of Donald's witchcraft comment when her campaign canceled. After we became aware of this, we emailed the campaign again and asked them that was, in fact, the reason she decided to cancel. We got back an email that said, no, that's not the reason. We weren't aware that Bill Maher had released this tape until yesterday afternoon.
Oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. You always were.
If and you ain't the granddaddy of all liars...
I was busy at a picnic and a thing, not watching the Bill Maher tape that I didn't even know about, and also, too, in
liar!
Addition.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Okay, Ed Rollins on the...
And listen, it's been 17 months. There are great churches in Washington, D.C., great African white churches. He should join a church. He should practice his Christian faith publicly. It's a very important part of a president's inspirational role. Mm-hmm. If you do that, all this other stuff would have gone away a long time ago.
You're still on that crap?
Yes. If you're photographed with your hands in prayer, then everything magically will disappear. By the way, Jim DeMint pulled another boner. You're not supposed to say Fox News is behind the Tea Party. He was appearing on Fox News. He acknowledged it because he was, being called a kingmaker, blah, blah, blah. He's the one responsible for this whole Tea Party thing. He appeared on Fox News and acknowledged he's had some help promoting the quote-unquote Tea Party tidal wave that has handed far-right nominations. Namely, he thanked Fox News. What? We had nothing to do with that. 18 minutes after the hour. All right, back with more on the Tea Party. In the meantime, kids, you know what? It's not if. It's when something happens to your computer. Mm-hmm. My latest, let's just call it a mishap. Mama spilled a little wine on her laptop. And
did you spill it on your new iPad?
No! I have a new iPad. Someone sent me for my birthday. It's exciting. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more on the Tea Party, Celebrity Stack, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee, or getting a splinter, or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I'm gonna tell everyone to love.
25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John in Chicago on witchcraft. Hi, John.
Hi. I have to say I find it kind of nauseating that the same right-wing propagandists who are likely to say that Christine O'Donnell's claim that she dabbled in witchcraft, you know, it happened a long time ago when she was in high school. It's not part of who she is. It's not a big deal. Are the same people who will tell you that the fact that Barack Obama went to an Islamic school in the Philippines when he was 10 years old is the biggest deal in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It is indeed,
Wheel
yes.
Of right-wing hypocrites!
I don't think it was exclusively Islamic school. It was people of different...
Right. Yes.
It was not a madrasa.
No.
Yes, it was some odd combination of diversity and melanin, as we've previously pointed out.
Which are both bad.
Bad, wrong. Okay. Hey, you got your celebrity stack in my politics. Lady Gaga, when she is somebody wearing a meat dress is the clearest thinking person in politics.
She looked very good yesterday. She was in a suit and tie, and she wore glasses.
In Portland, Maine.
Yes.
I'm here because they inspire me. I'm here because... I believe in them. I'm here because don't ask, don't tell is wrong. It's unjust. And fundamentally, it is against all that we stand for as Americans.
Rock on, sister. Once again, it's all going to be up to Senator Ghostly, isn't it? Esmeralda. What's her name again? Susan Collins, Maine,
yeah,
and Olympia Snow.
Both of them have indicated that they are going to stick with Republicans on this.
Great. You know, can I give you some not-so-fun historical fun facts about the Don't Ask, Don't Tell? When Congress passed what came to be known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell in 1993, was that 17 years ago?
Yep.
They had taken the action as a slap at then-President Bill Clinton, who they also hated with the heat of a thousand white-hot suns, much like they hate Barack Obama and everything he does or says or... Bill Clinton, who came into office brandishing a promise to let homosexuals serve openly without checking first with either the Pentagon or Capitol Hill, to teach him a lesson and to show the new president at what end of Pennsylvania Avenue the real power resided, Congress wrote what had merely been a presidential order into the law of the land. So for 17 years, thanks to some Republicans in a snit like they normally were, there have been people losing their lives and careers over this.
It's kind of gay being in a snit. Now that you mention
and seriously, but hurting our national security, our military readiness.
Who needs Arabic translators in Iraq? It's crazy.
Oh, I can't believe we're 17 years later at 80% of the American people thinking.
You can't fly an F-15. If you're gay, you're going to fly it in a gay way.
For God's sakes, Kelly McGillis just got gay married. From Top Gun. It's time to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
That's not what you call it. You don't calling it getting gay married.
That's what D-Listed is calling it.
Oh, boy.
Kelly McGillis, her partner of 10 years, Melanie Lees, were joining the civil union in Collinswood, New Jersey, Wednesday afternoon. For God's sake.
So it's a civil union, not an actual marriage.
I wonder if they reenacted the scene from Top Gun with the gauzy...
Yeah, my friends and I called that the blue tongue scene. Because they were backlit with blue and all you could see was their tongues.
And there's just a flowing drape or something.
Take my breath away.
And he had just come from the incredibly gay volleyball scene. The gayest scene in the history of the movies is the gay volleyball scene.
You know what?
The
I think you're right
volleyball.
There. I think you're right.
It was just rippling pectoral muscles in slow motion.
Nothing but abs.
Diving and heaving. All right, so all I'm saying is, come on, do the right thing in the Senate today, for God's sake. See, if they have any sense of humor, they played this at the wedding. And her girlfriend came up on a motorcycle. Come on!
And they'd have a flyover.
And in the vows, tell me what happened in the MiG. Tell me about the MiG. I don't know, just something from... Stop, then I'm gonna, I don't get
tell me about the MiG again. Oh, yeah. How many G's were you pulling? Oh, yeah, that's so hot.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And she's freakishly strong.
She's the reason you can't buy beer after the seventh inning at Dodger games.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Bob in San Francisco. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
No, you're Bob.
I'm sorry.
Check the tag in your underwear.
I love your show. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Incidentally, grew up very close to you in Seneca Falls down the lake.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, anyway, I just wanted to say about the Million Masturbator March.
Yes.
Do you think that that could be constructed into the Dick Army?
Yeah, it's a different kind
of
Dick Army.
It's an army of Dick.
Entirely. Okay. Oh, Amy in South Carolina is the Tea Party member that called earlier. Hi, Amy.
Yes, you said you wanted to ask me something. Go right ahead.
All right. Okay, so you called earlier and we hit a hard commercial break. So you said you are in the Tea Party in South Carolina, right?
Yes.
Okay, you say you are an independent.
I'm a libertarian.
Libertarian, okay. And you don't care, you said, about abortion, gay marriage. You're for gay marriage?
I have no problem with gay marriage.
Okay.
But it's just not an issue that's on my priority list to vote for one way or another.
Okay. So have you voted generally Democratic or Republican or what?
No, I almost never vote Democratic.
Okay. So, and you also, you said you like Sarah Palin, she's just like you, but you don't think she's qualified to be president.
No, I mean, just like, I think she's very much, I guess, the closest analogy I can draw is like Al Sharpton in the Democratic Party. I mean, he has a very, very controversial past.
Who's this?
But Al Sharpton.
Oh, Al Sharpton.
He has a very controversial past, but he definitely does serve a good purpose for the Democratic Party and has for many years. I think so will Sarah Palin.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that in that she brings a lot of attention to views I care about. I think she's a nice person, but I don't
Ooh.
Think she's, I wouldn't
Well, that's
her.
Where you and I differ. I don't think she's a nice person. Do you think that's some of the things she said during the campaign are nice?
I don't want to go there. Neither are you.
Okay.
Neither you nor I know her personally. We just know what we see in the press.
Well, I know, but what you do see in the press is kind of mean girls to me. Is all I'm
well,
saying.
Well, I mean, there's some things that you say that I would think you're a neat, mean person, but I bet if we met for dinner, we'd hit it off and get along just fine.
I am a delight in person. But I'm also not running for president. I'm just a, you know.
Well, you know, I'm just telling you, I'm a Tea Partier who hopes she doesn't run for president.
Okay. Well, so what, but you were saying that you, in your mind, the Tea Party stands for what? Fiscal conservatism?
Yes. I had heard a lot about it. I looked it up on the internet. Tea Party Patriots. Now, there are different branches. Three things. Fiscal responsibility, which to me means you don't spend more than you take in.
Right. But let me just ask you something about that.
Because
then if you're going to, you say you've hardly ever voted Democratic, Republicans are the ones that want to keep the Bush tax cuts, which will add provably $700 billion to the deficit.
Well, see, to me, your argument is what the problem is. Everybody takes out these little surgical things and say, well, look at this issue. But
it's a little surgical thing?
$700 billion? That's not, you know, that's
well,
all I'm
you
saying.
You want to hear my response,
yes.
Or you don't.
Yes.
I think fiscal responsibility means you can't spend more than you're taking in, and we have done that for so long. We're in a big mess.
So you were
so
against
no
it.
Welfare.
You were against
no.
it when George Bush did it.
Pardon?
You were against it when George Bush did it. He ran up the deficit with the tax cuts for the rich and the war in Iraq without paying for it. You realize that?
Why do you think George Bush lost?
Right.
Oh, I really. George
well,
Bush
he was
lost
term
it.
Limited as well.
George Bush. Bush.
That.
I mean Republicans lost
oh,
in
right.
Rose
I got
because
it.
Of George Bush.
Yes.
So he did the Republican Party no favor, even though I was not a Republican since I quit being a part of the Republican Party. I supported Ross Perot, and it's my theory that the Tea Party is people who identify with Ross Perot and the USA movement, but who realize that doing a third party is suicide. They're just trying to reform
right.
the Republican Party
well,
and make it more fiscally conservative.
He was also a little bit, what's the word, you know, crazy. Don't you think some of these Tea Party candidates are a little bit,
well,
little
know,
bit crazy?
Well, there are a lot of congressmen and people in high political office and appointed offices who wouldn't be characterized as crazy in that way, who have totally run our country into the path of destruction.
Do you think O'Donnell is qualified?
Do I think she's qualified? I like her views on fiscal responsibility and free markets more than I do her opponent. You know, do I think she's the best candidate? No. Mm. But, you know, you have to walk
you know,
the
Amy,
line.
I sense I could work with you. I sense a vat, like a box or two of Chardonnay, and I could bring you to the light. That's what I think.
Well, and, you know, and I feel the same way. But I think that's, you know, even, you know, your question the other day about who's smarter, liberals or conservatives?
I don't think I said that, but all right.
Yeah, y'all were talking about, I think that was your show. I do listen, you have to hand it to me. I listen to liberal
and we appreciate
radio
that.
On XM. I think smart people prefer having their ideas challenged than
yes.
just talking to people who go along with the sheep. And that's what I do.
Yes.
And what you have to understand is there are many Tea Partiers just like me. That is my only point.
I think if I lived in South Carolina or you lived in L.A., we'd be like best friends, don't you think?
You know, I like people who have different views from me.
Good. All right. Amy, well, I love you. You give me hope for America, Amy.
Amy, can I ask you something that the president asked yesterday? Give me three things that you would cut in order to help balance the budget.
I can tell you more than that.
Okay.
More than any one thing I have seen is I like Paul Ryan's views, that approach that he takes, a comprehensive approach toward going back to getting rid of the deficit and balancing the budget.
Okay.
But when Paul Ryan even or any of these Republicans are challenged, Amy, they don't actually say what they would cut.
Yeah, it's very they speak in vague generalities.
No, if you look at his plan, it's fairly specific. I do believe that the entitlements have to be scaled back for them to exist in the long run. I am totally willing to have my Social Security kick in at a later date.
Are you willing to tell veterans that their benefits will be cut?
I'm on TRICARE. Our benefits have been cut. My husband is a veteran. Our benefits have already been cut, according to the...
Well, they're going to have to be cut even more.
Yeah. Well, Amy, let me tell you something. If all of the Republican Party were as honest as you were, we could have us a conversation and save the country. So,
I think that there are very well-informed, well-intentioned, intelligent people on both sides who will differ on the issue. That's what I find in my personal life.
Yep.
And it's fun to go with caricatures of people and pick the craziest person.
Yes.
But our country's in trouble, and we need to be talking about the serious issues.
Only you and I can save America now.
And if my kids' futures were going to be curtailed because of the crazy people they hung out with in high school, I would be really, really sad about that.
All right. Amy, I'll buy the wine. I fly. I'll see you in South Carolina. All right.
All right. And thanks for taking my call.
All right.
Thank you. Take
all
it
right.
again.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course I will. Bye bye. Aww. She's my new best friend. She's an cuddly toy. Okay. She was great. No. See if you could have.
Right.
If half of their candidates were that reasonable, at least, and able to have a conversation.
Oh no! Hell, you can't.
But you know what? She kept saying that she would cut entitlement programs.
Yeah, which ones?
Yeah, she really didn't get specific. Mm-hmm. On how
entitlement
to tell
programs.
Why do you need any more from Christine O'Donnell than she's for liberty and junk?
Well, you know, the president asked that yesterday, and I think
what
that was a really good question.
Would you cut?
Yes.
What three things would you cut?
Once again.
Well, you know, the entitlements. You know, that stuff. The stuff that nobody needs
okay.
or wants.
Listen, wait for it, Jim. On Thursday is the House Republicans' 20-point... plan. They're set to go public at a hardware store in Sterling, Virginia.
Point one, get a plan.
They came
Point
up,
two,
they started this, remember, in the pizza parlor, but where they,
right.
their main idea was free.
The Chuck E. Cheese.
Twisty bread.
Uh-huh.
For everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
And 20 free tokens.
This one's going to be on Thursday at a hardware store. Officials describe the agenda as culmination of an internet and social networking project. Oh, that thing on the internet they did where they asked for your ideas.
Mm.
America Speaking Out thing.
Whatever.
Oh, that.
I think the number one idea was legalized pot, so I don't know if that'll make it.
And then we won't care about anything else once you legalize pot.
Because the only people apparently voting in those things are people that are high.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh. Eating some food.
Okay. You should legalize pot and then...
eating some food, filling out some surveys.
Forgot.
Chris Van Hollen's office said it took them more than 20 months to repackage a plan that's no different from the last one.
Yeah.
That caused the Great Bush Recession. Yeah.
That's... Yep.
But they'll have really nice graphics, like their budget did.
And it might even have some numbers this
Clip
time.
Art.
No. The budget didn't have any numbers, but it had nice graphics. They were pretty.
They had generic photos of people doing American
stock
things.
Stock photos.
Yeah.
of a family on a picnic.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
All right. Oh, you know what, Jim? I think, I'm not sure if this is what you were talking about the president was saying, but talking about exactly what the Tea Party would do.
The challenge, I think, for the Tea Party movement is to identify specifically what would you do.
Liberty.
Well, it's not enough just to say, get control of spending. I think it's important for you to say, you know, I'm willing to cut veterans' benefits. Or I'm willing to cut Medicare or Social Security benefits. Or I'm willing to see these taxes go up.
Yeah, that's exactly it. As we get closer to the election, get specific.
Yes.
Bill Clinton talking about
that. A lot of the voters who are voting for the Tea Party candidates have really good impulses. That is, they believe that for years and years and years, the people with wealth and power or government power have done well, and ordinary people have not. That's true.
You know, he said, I'd like to see Democrats talk more about how we're going to move forward. If the election is about apathy on our side and anger on their side, he said, we can't win that race. If the election is about what we're going to do now and who's going to do it, our side will do just fine. He said, the problem is if you look at the financial energy behind the Tea Party movement, it's not about restricting abuse of big public and private power. It's about destroying the role of government in our life so that private centers of power will be untrammeled. And I don't think that's good for average Americans.
You know, liberty. Fiscal responsibility.
And you're not the boss of me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm running on. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller is... Who is a babe, by the way? I must point this out.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Ironically, blah 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 blah. That's the Tea Party, platform.
Yeah. John McCain's probably listening to this on his iPod in the Senate this
sure
morning.
Is. Yeah.
How does she mean?
What's that? What is she talking about?
Gobbledygook. Kids today.
Damn kids. They're rock and roll, 8-track tapes.
They're meat dresses. And they're gays. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric in D.C. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how's it going? I wanted to rebut a little bit of what the teabagger that you had that long love fest with.
She's my new best friend. She's a Tea Party member.
Well,
she's not a teabagger.
First of all, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
First of all, they're all teabaggers to me. First of all, she's talking about caricatures, and the Senate candidates that the Tea Party has are caricatures of themselves.
That is true.
They're all extreme far-right-wing lunatics, and I don't care what she says. First of all, Christine O'Donnell, her fiscal responsibility, she used more than $20,000 for personal expenses.
Yeah.
She has IRS liens. She owes over $10,000 to them.
Yeah.
She's defaulted on back taxes and on her mortgage.
Yeah, she's got your fiscal conservatism right here.
So that's, you know, that's the hypocrisy that's typical of this. The other thing is these extreme Tea Party candidates, you've got five of them right now who are against abortion in every instance, including if your daughter is raped by her uncle.
Yep.
I mean, she needs to have that baby. This is the kind of thing, you know, it's all platitudes and bull. It really is. They're
yeah.
Just
well, Christine O'Donnell, as we've said many times, is dangerous. I mean, she's, yes, comedy gold, but dangerous. As well.
But
I mean,
she's
her...
not the only one. I mean, it's Sharon Angle.
Yeah.
It's all of them. I mean, they're
Second
all
Amendment
far
solutions.
Right wing. And that's what Obama and the Democrats have to be out there saying over and over, because all they keep talking about is the same lies they said in the past. You
yep.
know? So.
Yep, I hear you, honey.
I have a correction. Comes from Charles in Senator Jim Webb's office.
Uh-huh.
And he says TRICARE, which is the military health care plan, there have been no cuts in TRICARE, and TRICARE will probably add the children to age 26 provision that was passed in health care reform.
So that was a lie.
Well,
or a misstatement.
A misstatement since the teabagger was a friend of Stephanie's.
Since she's my new best friend, I'm going to call it a misstatement.
So it's not a lie.
By the way, tell Jim Webb to vote with the Democrats on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
We appreciate Senator Webb's office for writing in.
Thank you. Deirdre in Annapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, Steph, I know you have another new best friend, and I'm not jealous, but let me tell you something. She did lie about the cutting benefits. They did. I'm married to a retired, God help me, Marine, And they just didn't get their increase that they wanted. It isn't that benefits were cut. They never get cut. That's the first thing. The second thing is, she called herself an independent of some sort. I'm married to one of those independents who's never voted for anyone but a Republican his entire life.
Yeah.
I'm a Democrat. I'm proud to call myself a Democrat. What's wrong with these independents that only vote Republican?
And how is your life with the great Santini? How is that?
Oh, my God.
Stop it, Stephanie.
I kid.
Compared to my house.
I kid. All right. Oh, dear God. We have breaking celebutard news. And a warrant has been issued for Lindsay Lohan's arrest.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. You know what that means. Helicopters above our houses tonight, Chris. You know how it is. There might be a Paris Hilton slow speed thing. It's a whole Rita Cosby will be screaming. Oh, I see Lindsay. A judge has officially revoked her probation and issued a bench warrant for her arrest.
Never gets old.
Her next court date isn't until Friday morning, so the judge is giving her until then to turn herself in. Oh, no.
Do real people get leniency like this?
No. A D-listed saying, part of me hopes that Lilo gets in her Porsche and drives for the border with White Oprah in the passenger seat. This whole crackhead saga needs a police chase.
Yeah.
And helicopters.
Yeah.
She tests positive for coke and amphetamines.
And then they can drive off a cliff. Like,
no, that's
Thelma and Louise.
That's different.
Yeah.
By the way, Paris Hilton, the other person who's not going to jail over her little coke mishap in Las Vegas.
Gum coke.
The lesson here is if you're going to get caught with the bad, according to D-listed, make sure the arresting officer can check rich, white, and famous on the police report if they can. Feel free to do a line on the police report while the officer's writing it up because the party never ends for you. That's true. I think she could. I think she could have done a line on the police report and still has enough money to get on.
You're incorrigible. No ice cream for a week for you, Missy.
Oh,
we have a little bit of celebrity breaking news.
Yes.
Wycliffe Jean has just withdrawn his presidential bid to be president of Haiti.
No.
This just in.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. This just in. We have competing breaking celebrity.
Oh, my God.
Justin Bieber went to Hooters.
What? Huh? That's news?
D-listed writing, while trying to find the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese, he ended up in the middle of Hooters at the Edmonton Mall. And, there's
West Edmonton
some
Mall.
Beavers and boobs there in that picture.
Edmonton?
Yes.
Alberta?
It's actually the largest mall in North America.
Oh, really?
In this cattywampus political year, I think not only could CeCe Goldwater and I win this time, but I think that the other breaking news, Randy Quaid and his wife could get elected somewhere.
This is weird.
They are wacky. They're, once again...
And you know what makes this weirder? Is that Dennis Quaid is out there promoting a new movie, and so everybody is asking him about, what's going on with your brother Randy?
Yeah, what's up with Randy and his wife?
Yeah. Who?
They're facing burglary charges in California after the owner of the couple's old house reported they've been living there without permission. They were squatting, I guess, in their old...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, people get notoriously cranky about that once they have a title to the house. You know, you don't own it anymore.
Yeah.
They get weird. When deputies arrived at the house, they found Randy and Evie Quaid, who said they had owned the property since the 1990s. A contractor showed police more than $5,000 in damages to the guest house they believed was caused by the Quaids. Last September, as you recall, they were charged with defrauding an innkeeper. When have you heard that in this century?
Defrauding an innkeeper?
They skipped out on the San Ysidro Ranch. They gave him a phony credit card there and at the Biltmore. God bless them.
Wow. Sounds like a statute that was on the books in 1840.
Yeah.
Defrauding an innkeeper.
Can you go to debtor's prison for that?
Scurrilous use of the telegraph machine.
He stole a giant turkey leg and a keg of ale or something.
Mead.
Mead.
Yeah, a great big jug of mead.
This will come as breaking news to no one. You probably heard this. Octomom going on welfare. What?
Oh, gee.
So we're going to be paying for all of that?
Yes.
Yes, her spokesman said, first of all, she could maybe fire a spokesman. Maybe they should save a little money there. She has nannies and huge expenses raising 14 children.
Well, then she shouldn't have had those children.
Shut her legs for 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. She needs a lot of money just to keep up with the basics, and now the income is dried up. Blah, blah, blah. There's no choice. Well, except to keep your legs shut, as we mentioned just for a second.
I wonder if she believes in fiscal responsibility for other people.
All right, and the last one, D-listed, that's not nice. Lock up your granddaughters. Morgan Freeman is single.
Morgan Freeman.
The man who can make your bowel movements seem interesting by narrating them is no longer wearing... from wedding bands. He said, divorced from his wife of 26 years.
2 days of eating nothing but cheese and drywall.
His wife of 26 years has divorced him. She didn't file for divorce till a year later, just days after he got into a car accident with a lady friend.
That's right. I remember that.
Delisted writing, yep, even God experiences car had gone wrong.
Because
he played God. The National Enquirer ran a story last year claiming the then 72-year-old Morgan had been dating his 27-year-old step-granddaughter.
Wow.
I don't know.
What?
We don't know if that's true.
Step-granddaughter?
Or not. Okay. Don't know if that's true.
I've always liked Woody Allen.
Hal Sparks joins us for Hump Days with Hal from Seattle tomorrow, along with Carl Frisch of Media Matters. We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.